so glad to be here with you. It's been such a joy to Claudia and I to be back with you again after almost 11 years since we were here the last time. It's been good. Food's been so great. Thank you for your hospitality. Room is so comfortable. It's just been a joy to be here to see you again. I enjoy the cool weather for about an hour. And I went up to Arkansas for the James Watson. Asked me to come up and preach to them at the church in Taylor, Arkansas a few years ago. Brother James Watson is Clay's granddad. He was here Friday night. And we had a service on Friday night. And I got there, he said, now, in the morning, he said, we're going to go to another place. There's a little group there. And he said, we get together in a building there and have a service. I said, good, fine. We got up the next morning. It was about 25 degrees. Beautiful sunshiny day, but 25 degrees. And so we, after breakfast, we took off down the road and drove about an hour and got there. And, well, he said we were there. I didn't know. Wasn't what I had on my mind. It was an old church building set right on the edge of a cemetery. And this building hadn't been painted in 150 years. Had no windows, no doors, wood floors, wood benches. And I'm still wondering, where we're going to meet? Well, that was it. I had no coat on, just my sport coat. And we had a Bible study first. I taught a Bible study. And they wanted me to sing. It was so cold. My throat didn't want to work real well. I sang, we had a Bible study, and then to warm up, we went outside and got on the sunshiny side of the building and stood in the sunshine up against that building to get out of the wind to try to warm up a little bit. Then we went back in and had another service. We left there, and Brother James said, "Were you cold?" I said, "Man, is there a cow in Texas?" He said, "Well, that's the reason I wore my long handles." I said, "But you didn't tell me." It was cold. Not that bad in here this morning. I always tell them at church, don't expect it to be like at home. We're not in our own homes. And I don't know how many are here this morning, but that's how many different opinions we'd have. How this building ought to be. And we usually get it like y'all, just whichever way it comes out today. But I am so grateful. I enjoy the cold weather, usually around first part of January when we have winter time, and then I'm always glad to see the warm weather. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to speak to you for a few minutes. I told Brother Marvin, I said, I'm going to be brief. He said, we have a rule around here, minimum of 40 minutes. But my desire is to be more brief than that. But we'll see. Luke chapter 2. And I want to speak to you this morning on our consolation, Israel's consolation. It's God's Israel. This is our comfort. Beginning with verse 21, Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Savior, Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, Mary's purification, according to the law. Now, just notice the times that that's mentioned here. He fulfilled all things for us. All things. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Then we have a little parenthetical expression here. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, oh, I love that. Behold, looky here. You know, there's something important fixing to be said here. If we wanted to bring this word behold into our language today, it would be like the marquee lights calling our attention to something. One time we went to Reno, Nevada. We got there about 8 o'clock at night. Walter Gruber, Betty, Claudia, and I, we drove up there from Sacramento, California, and I was amazed at the light. They say Reno is nothing compared to Las Vegas. But I was amazed, everyone vying for your attention to get you to their place. And they did it with lights, the marquee lights. Well, that's sort of a picture of this word, behold. The Scripture is calling our attention to something that's so important. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man, and that same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now you just stop and think about this. 400 years of silence from the end of Malachi until the first part of Matthew, the coming of John the Baptist, there was no word from the Lord to that nation of Israel. In our Bibles, we turn one blank page for the most part, and that one blank page represents to us 400 years of silence. But here was a man who had been moved by God's Holy Spirit to wait. To wait. And you know, if you take the word consolation and hope and wait, they're the same expression. You know, we use the word hope today in the sense, well, you know, it's an iffy thing. In the Spanish language, the word hope and to wait are the same word. You stand out on the side of the road and you're waiting for the bus. You're hoping for that bus. It's a sure thing that's going to come to pass right on time. And you're standing there waiting on it. This man was waiting for this consolation of Israel. And he, verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then all things were fulfilled. Then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, there's that word again, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And he said, for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Israel's consolation. When God's prophets spoke, when they desired to comfort Israel, they always showed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. We have no other word of comfort. Isaiah, the prophet, in Isaiah 40, spoken about 270 years or so before the children of Israel were carried away into Babylon. He said, you're going to captivity, but the Lord God of heaven will raise up a deliverer. And he says in Isaiah 40, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bring us good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd, and He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, what a comfort to Israel. Now, Isaiah, as I said, he wrote telling what would take place in Babylon after that 70 years of captivity. But he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all pictures us. Israel is us. That one he raised up in the north, the rise, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Zechariah, who wrote about 200 years later, still before Israel was carried into captivity, told us in Zechariah 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And then Malachi said, but unto you that fear my name, that reverence my name, shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. We're not going to have to get out and search for it for ourselves. He's going to feed us as calves in the stall. Everything we need will be brought to us. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what the prophet said. We could go on and on and on. The Old Testament saints, the patriarchs, they did. They comforted God's people with this promise of the coming of God's Christ, God's Messiah, our Savior. Abraham rejoiced to see his day, and he saw it by faith. He believed God's promise. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Job's comfort was, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. David said, my heart is inditing a good matter. You know, I thought about that word, inditing a good matter. I thought about how we use this word today. All the evidence is there. And when you think about an indictment in our courts, all the evidence is there that it will be proven a sure thing. That's the reason a grand jury will hand down an indictment. And that's what David said. My heart has seen all the promises, all the evidence of a sure thing. It's indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. And then the angel saying, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly the heavens were filled with a host of the heavenly angels, and they sang, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill from God toward men. We just went through this time of the year and everybody says peace, goodwill. Robberies go up. Muggings go up. Murders go up. It's not men. It's God's goodwill to us through Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself acknowledged that he himself deserved this title. Here in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, verse 18, is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Brother Henry read this passage to us the other night. For he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why He told us in Matthew 11, "Come unto Me. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Brother Donnie Bell and I were talking about Brother Scott the other day and talking about things that we've heard him say over the years. And I said, my favorite expression that I use over and over and over again is just, you gotta fit the character. You got to fit the character. Are you laboring? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Come. Fit the character. And He said, and I will give you rest. John 16, He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. John 14, you quoted this last night, I will not leave you comfortless. The Comforter has come. He said, I will come to you. And the early church, that was all that early church had to rejoice in, was that Messiah, that Comfort of Israel. That's all. I just taught through 1 and 2 Peter at the church. We just finished it here a while back. The church was suffering such great persecution under Nero, Emperor of Rome. Terrible persecution. There wasn't a thing in this world that they could rejoice in. But Peter said, when he wrote to them, both in the first letter and in the second letter, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. In the midst of this cruel persecution, yet they rejoiced with joy unspeakable. Unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Paul told the believers in Rome, he said, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Oh, why would we marvel when we consider who He is, to know that they all looked for Him. They all waited for Him. They all saw Him. They saw His deed. You know, the Word of God reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as our refuge in a storm. He's called the shadow of a great rock. He's called a river of water in a dry land. And you know, you can just let your imagination work just a little bit. This morning, I didn't want to stand in the shade. I wanted sunshine. But I tell you, in this land, there was nothing more comforting than to get into the shadow of a rock. The coolness of that rock cooled that shadow. And it sheltered us from that sun that was beating down. That's what Christ is to us. Have you ever lived in a dry land where water was so precious? In Chiapas, where we live, we'd go through 8 months of dry season. Oh, everything would just burn up. Get so hot. March, April, and May was our first summertime. The longest summertime, when the sun would start heading north. And it hasn't rained in so many months. It would get so hot. And if it would just cool down out of the 90s at night, we were so grateful. It was like a norther blew through. But you'd come across those mountains and you'd look out across the valley and you'd see what looked like a green snake winding its way through that valley. There was water. Water. And oh, how the trees would flourish on the edge of that water. River of water in a dry land. He's called the bread of life. He's called the robe of righteousness. He's called the light in a dark place. And oh, what beautiful pictures they are to show us the reality of this comfort, this hope, this consolation we have. That's why Simeon called him the consolation of Israel. That's our comfort. Now, I have a question for you this morning. Is he your comfort? Is he your consolation? Are you still looking for comfort here? These things, they don't last, do they? This world is so fickle. Is he your hope? If he's not our hope, if he's not our comfort, if he's not our consolation, we have no hope. What will I do with my guilt if he's not my hope, my only hope? I'm a sinner. I hear it so many times. A man told me the other day he's in federal prison, charged with bringing drugs in, cross Mexico, bring them into the U.S., has really a rather light sentence. He only has 7 years in that penitentiary. And he said, I was a drunk. He said, I beat my wife. I beat my family. He said, I sold drugs. He said, I was a mule bringing drugs in to the United States. But I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad person. You know, we can always find somebody worse, can't we? I have no problem preaching to them. Because I know that wall doesn't make a bit of difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference. His brother Henry said he saved the worst among us when he saved a wretch like me. The believer sees himself as the chief of sinners. And you know how you know what the best evidence? The fact that you see yourself as the chief of sinners when you esteem others better than yourself. That's tough to do, isn't it? But we always looking for somebody that's worse than us. Man, I'd never do that. I would. You name it. And if I have not already done it, I would. I pray I won't. But I would. We esteem others better than ourselves. This is such a curse upon them. Guilty. Guilty. There's no mercy for the good person. Just don't go before the judge and cry for mercy unless you're willing to plead guilty. 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 As long as we're under the wrath of God, there is no comfort. There is no hope. Christ and Christ alone is our comfort. Delivering from going down to the pit, I found a ransom. What will I do with my depravity, my nature, who I am, if Christ is not my hope? Not only am I guilty, my understanding's darkened. My will is in rebellion. My desires and affections are carnal. My heart's a stranger to the life of God. My only recourse is that one whom God has set forth as my propitiation. He made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And this Spirit of the life of Christ has delivered me from the law of sin and death. What will I do when I'm in trouble if He's not my hope? I talk to men every week. They have no hope. No hope. That light's gone out for them. No hope. That's what the people to whom Peter wrote, that's how they felt. There's no hope. Peter said, oh, we do have a hope. It's Christ. He's our comfort. He's our comfort. He's our hope when the enemy invades the country. What am I going to do in death if He's not my hope? He's the only thing that can sustain me, the only one who can sustain me when all else fails. That's the reason Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Is He your hope this morning? Is He your comfort this morning? You know, He said to us, we're justified from God's wrath in Christ. That's my hope. In His righteousness I stand before the Lord God of heaven. I can say it. I just can't see it. But He's my hope. I'm clothed in His righteousness. In His righteousness, we can stand before God. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. One more word for us. And this is a warning. Will we be like those of this nation of Israel? You know, I read Isaiah. I read what he said to the children of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 6. I read what Isaiah said. Then I continue reading. And I read what Jeremiah had to say to them. Even after, this is our hope, telling them this over and over and over again. This is our hope. This is our comfort. This is our consolation. And Jeremiah said in chapter 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. The old paths. Some of them didn't remember these old paths. They stayed in Babylon for 70 years. They couldn't remember these old paths. Some were born in Babylon. They knew not these old paths. But Jeremiah says, ask for them. Ask for them. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's what they said. We will not walk therein. And he said, also, I set a watchman over you, saying, that's the pastor. That's that watchman up on the wall, warning of danger. And these watchmen said, listen and hearken to the voice of the trumpet. Danger. Danger. But they said, we will not hearken. That's not the way we've done it. That's not the way Mama and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa taught me. What does that preacher know? Jeremiah said, the Lord set His watchman on the walls. And the watchman warned them, "Listen for the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken." And then in chapter 18, verse 14, he said, "Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken?" Those refreshing waters. because I ask this question, because my people have forgotten me. They burned incense to vanity. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Then back in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31, he said, O generation, I cry out to you this morning, O generation, that's us. See the word of the Lord. Have I been in a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Have I been so harsh? Have I been a wilderness? Have I been a land of darkness? My people, they say, we're lords. We're lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten my days without number. Oh, he reminds us here when no one had pity on us. No one had pity on us. But he loved us. He delivered us when there was none to help us. He found us in the way of destruction, way to destruction. And he gave us life. He said to us, live. Live. He brought to us balm from Gilead when all the religious medics of this world had given us up as hopeless. Don't ever go back to that town in Texas where I was born and raised. Don't go back to Pearland, Texas and ask them about me. Because that's what they would say of me. They gave up on me. The deputy sheriff told me the last time that he got me, he said, "Milton," he said, "I don't even have to see you anymore." He said, "All I need is for someone to say, get him, and you're gone." Don't ask them. Don't ask them about me. If you went into town and told them that you had heard me stand up in a church and open a Bible and speak to you from that Bible, they'd say, "No way. No way." But that's where he found us. Polluted in our own blood. When none wanted us, cast aside, cast out in that field, left to die, in that way to destruction, and he gave us life. All these religious medics, they'd say, "There's no hope for him. No hope for him." The religion of this world, they don't want sinners in their midst. A sinner walks into the average congregation today and you wouldn't be accepted. You'd be told to clean up your act first. If I could clean up my act, I'd have no need for this hope, this comfort, this consolation. But our Lord said to the 12, will you also go away? Will you forget God? Will you turn your back on this only hope, this only comfort? Will you also go away? And Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no one but Christ. None can take his place. Now, you turn away, and your heart's going to be filled with your own ways. Oh, may give us, you know, the Lord God of heaven just might give us the desire of our hearts. It'd be the greatest curse. We don't know good from bad and bad from good. We confuse the two. We call good bad and bad good. The Lord might give us the desire of our heart. But if He does, we'll lose sight of His presence. We'll lose this joy, this comfort, this hope, this consolation, the joy of His salvation. Anything in which we can find rest or strength or comfort or happiness that's not Christ will fail us. Christ alone is this comfort, this consolation of Israel. That's the reason Jeremiah said here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21, he said a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I'll heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Simeon said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He is Israel's consolation, Israel's comfort, Israel's hope, Israel's salvation. Are you God's Israel? May the Lord bless these thoughts to our